The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 6. As I rode along at the back of the much-reduced expedition, I thought to myself that this had to be the most inhospitable and irritating terrain that it had ever been my misfortune to traverse. Not only was it dry, dusty, steep, rocky, and sparsely endowed with vegetation, but what vegetation there was either of the thorny or the bristly variety. This unpleasant shrubbery managed to occasionally overwhelm the path, odd considering how sparse it was, and at these times the shrubs seemed to delight, no, delight is not a word to be used in this context, they seemed designed especially to poke one in the sides or in the forehead. As a result, I had numerous small cuts on my face, which I thought were bound to be infected, as the filth and dust penetrated them almost as soon as they were installed. When, after several hours of breathless slump trundling, we finally reached a sort of craggy peak and stopped ascending, I was, at first, quite pleased. That was before I looked down. The path that lay before us wound steeply downwards into an evil-looking swamp. Even from those heights I thought I could tell that it was smelly and unpleasant and probably filled with disgusting, hostile things. And I wasn't wrong. I will say this, the descent down the mountain and into the swamp went more quickly than the ascent up the mountain had gone. Much more quickly. A little too quickly. It started out all right. Hobie had taken the lead and started to gingerly descend the narrow path. He was followed by Roger, then Sammy, then me, and bringing up the rear, for reasons known only to him, Alvy. Now, if I were in a great hairy sweat to get down the side of a mountain, and I were in the company of a number of others, and the only route of descent was a very, very narrow, winding path, then I would choose to go first. That way I could barrel along willy-nilly at whatever suicidal breakneck stupid pace I wanted, without endangering the lives of all and sundry. This was clearly not Alvy's attitude. As I said, Alvy, for some reason, wanted to be in the back, which is the natural position for a dawdler such as myself to occupy. The careless, heedless morons usually like to be at the forefront of things. Well, we had not gone far before the pace at which I was traveling was not to Alvy's liking. At first, he contented himself with the camel-mounted equivalent of tailgating. His camel was becoming quite intimate with the hindmost portion of mine. This, given the aforementioned propensities of my camel, was not a wise idea, and no doubt the horrible odors emanating from my mount's balding buttocks made him rethink his choice of position and prodded him to want to hurry past. But there was no room to pass on that trail, and so he was stuck there. I myself would have backed off a bit, giving the air immediately behind my camel time to clear before passing through it. But this was not Alvy's method. Inevitably, the close proximity of our rides caused problems. In the thickening brush, it was an ineluctable result, foreseen by anyone with a modicum of intelligence, that we should become entangled and some disaster would ensue. And it did.